Hello, I'm Pastor Daniel Flukey from St. Peter Lutheran Church, a congregation of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America in Green, Iowa. Today is Sunday, August 1st, the 10th Sunday after Pentecost. It's good to be with you. Last weekend here at St. Peter, we celebrated Christmas in July, so today we're going to go back a week and pick up the story in the lectionary that we skipped last week. One of my favorite stories in the Bible, Jesus feeding the 5,000. Before we get into that, let me first say that I'm glad to be here with you, glad that you're here watching, that God has led you here. Invite you to go ahead and say hi in the comments. It's nice to know who's worshiping with us online. And also, I will be at a retreat in Wisconsin next weekend, so there will not be a sermon video posted for August 8. Instead, if you're around, you're welcome to come for in-person service here at St. Peter on either Saturday at 6 o'clock or Sunday at 9:30. Pastor Kent Meckler will be here to lead and share a message. Then, 2 weeks from today, August 15th, we plan to have outdoor worship in the park on Sunday at 9:30. So watch for more details on our Facebook page in the next week or two, but put it on your calendar. Worship on Sunday, August 15th at Perrin Park in the Big Shelter at 9:30. Now, hear the Holy Gospel according to John chapter 6. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "6 months of wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told the disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over, so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. When I read this story of Jesus feeding the 5,000, I said it's one of my favorites, and I think of the word abundance. 2 weeks ago, I gave everybody who was here in worship a wooden foot massager as a reminder that it's important sometimes to take a break and recharge. And if you weren't here, or if you didn't get one then, I still have plenty, so let me know. I'm happy to get you one. You can stop by and pick one up. Honestly, I'm a little bit surprised that only a couple people after those services asked me why I had so many foot massagers. I'm determined to get as much preaching mileage out of them as possible, so today I submit to you that sometimes abundance looks like a buy one, get 200 free sale. It's something so generous that you can only assume it was a mistake. And to be honest, I still think it was a mistake, or maybe the person selling them really wanted to bless someone with an overwhelming number of foot massagers for some reason. I have no idea. But isn't it true that abundance often seems like a mistake to us? In today's story, wouldn't it have been just as great of a miracle if Jesus multiplied the loaves and fishes and it just said, "All ate and were satisfied"? Why make enough for leftovers? Did Jesus measure wrong or something? I don't think so. Pastor James Howell points out that sometimes when we have leftovers, we pass them on to the poor, to nursing homes or soup kitchens. I remember from personal experience when Kristen and I lived in Dubuque at seminary, there was a food bank that we used at the seminary, and we often got leftover bread and baked goods and bagels and donuts from Panera, because each day when they closed, they donated their leftovers, everything that didn't sell, to one of the food pantries around town, and on Tuesdays, that was us. But Jesus has just fed a crowd of poor people. These are the poor people in the area. That's who's coming to listen to him. And he's given them more than enough. Jesus is not just providing the leftovers, the cast-offs, the things we so often do, giving away the clothes that don't quite fit anymore or have maybe just a little bit of a stain, but maybe it's good enough for someone poor. He doesn't just give the can of lima beans that's been at the back of the cabinet for a couple years, and when the food drive comes up, you look for it. No, Jesus gives out the good stuff. Jesus gives out everything made available to him, and he gives it out in abundance. This reading is a story. It's not a parable like Jesus often tells, but it still paints a picture of heaven. It gives a living illustration of what God's kingdom looks like. And of course, it also makes a real, tangible difference in the lives of the people who are fed. This is a practical miracle. It's the miracle that convinces many people to follow Jesus. And as we'll hear in a few weeks, many in the crowd will again leave. They'll stop following Jesus when they realize he's much more than a heavenly vending machine. But still, Jesus provides here for their immediate practical needs. And that means something. That's a lesson for us. This is a picture of God's kingdom. In God's kingdom, there is an abundance, and it's not a mistake. There's more than enough for everyone. When we pray for God's kingdom to come, for it to be on earth as it is in heaven, that's part of what we're praying for. These stories call us to look at this world with all of its problems and disparities and shortages and see the possibility of abundance rather than scarcity, to see the possibility of what could happen when God is at work. When Jesus draws the disciples' attention to the large crowd that's rapidly approaching them, and he points out we're going to need some food to give them, the disciples do not see abundance, maybe an abundance of people, but standing on the mountain looking at the crowd, the disciples see scarcity. They saw the problem. They saw the same thing that I would see, quite honestly, the same thing I often see. They saw an overwhelming need. They saw something way beyond what the budget could handle. And it's easy to do that, right? It's easy to see the shortages, the places where the prices are too high to buy stuff or too low when you're selling your crop, the volunteers who are too busy, the empty spaces where people used to be, the competition that we can't beat, the things we can't do. Scarcity is easy to see. Only Andrew in the story, one of the disciples, he's the only one who comes up with a proposal. But even as he says it, he knows it's not nearly enough. But Jesus doesn't see Andrew's idea as a weak, inadequate offering. Jesus sees it as generosity. Jesus turns scarcity into abundance. This is the way God's love works. Jesus gives himself for us, and there's always more than enough to go around. It's not a pie where if I take a piece, there's one fewer piece for you. It's not a zero-sum game. In Jesus' hands, there is enough, and more than enough. This story appears in all four of the Gospels. In fact, it's the only one of Jesus' miracles that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all include. But John's is my favorite version because he includes my favorite character. He's the only one to mention this boy who provides the food. And I've always thought of it as him giving up his lunch, which is obviously a great sacrifice. Sometimes I've joked about how he must be a Boy Scout because he's prepared. No one else in the crowd is prepared. But I've also wondered why this boy has so much with him. We don't know how old he was. The word John uses means child or small boy. But even if he was a growing teenager, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, that seems like a lot of food for one person. I came across a suggestion this week that perhaps it wasn't all for him. Perhaps he was there as a vendor, planning to make a little extra money for his family by selling food to the crowd. People do that. People still do that. I was at the Bremer County Fair earlier today, and we bought food from people who were there to sell food because there was a crowd. So I don't know if that's why this boy was there, but it's plausible. And if that's the case, I think it makes his gift all the more generous. Because not only is he giving up his own food, which is a sacrifice, but instead of making money, he's giving away his inventory. He's going to have to go home and explain to his family why he has no money from the day's work, why he didn't make anything. He's going to have to explain that he didn't make a mistake. He chose to be generous. And Jesus multiplied his generosity far beyond anything he could have possibly imagined. Because that's what Jesus does. Jesus takes our generosity, even our hesitant generosity, even the times when we give more than we meant to, and or the times when we step up, but only after being asked over and over again, or the times when we want to help, but it's just not in the cards this month. Jesus takes our generosity and multiplies it, does miracles with it. And I'm not talking only about church giving. Obviously, I think giving to the church is important. Supporting the work we do together is essential to being a member of the church congregation. I ask you about that just about every week. In fact, it's right in our constitutional definition of being a member. Active members of St. Peter Lutheran Church, by definition, receive communion and give a contribution of record at least once a year. The amount is not important, but the act of giving, the intention of generosity as a response to what God has done for you, that is important. And yet, I don't believe this story is here only as an excuse for pastors trying to fill the offering plate. I think this boy gives us an example of how when we live a generous life, God accepts whatever we offer and multiplies it. Regardless of how much you give to the church congregation, I hope that you have something that you are passionate about, that you support, something you give of yourself to support. Maybe it's by giving money that's important, or maybe it's by volunteering, giving your time, raising awareness, whatever. But following Jesus involves giving. Sometimes we get to see the impact of our giving. Some of you have heard me talk about when Kristen and I got the chance to visit Naomi, a girl that she sponsored since high school in Tanzania. It was amazing to finally get to meet her, to see what good God had done with our donations, to see the impact that our giving had had, far more impact than if we had kept that amount of money. The boy in this story, he gets to see the whole crowd eat with the impossibly small amount of food that he provided. He gets to see the miracle. I hope that he got a basket or two of leftovers to take home with him. Maybe that would help him explain to his family what happened. But of course, more often than not, we don't get to see the impact of our giving. We don't get to see what God does with our generosity. We have to trust. We don't get to see the impact the people who receive the quilts that we give to Lutheran World Relief to distribute around the world. In Kansas City 2 weeks ago on our mission trip, our youth group gave away part of the money that we'd fundraised to a rescue mission, providing housing to people that we'll never see. We don't usually get to hear what Bible stories kids will remember 20 or 30 or 40 years from now because they learned them in VBS or Sunday school. But we are called to trust God can and will use whatever we can offer. Whatever we're willing to offer, we are called to give in faith. We are called to trust that God provides, to rejoice that God allows us to contribute, to be involved in the abundance of God's kingdom. Let's pray. Lord, open our eyes to see beyond scarcity. Help us to see the abundance of your coming kingdom and inspire us by your Holy Spirit to live generous lives, to trust that in your hands there is enough and there is an abundance. Lord, thank you for the abundance of your love and provision for us and for the world. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.